If you want to partner with us, you'll find information at the end of this podcast.
You know, one of the things that the Holy Spirit has taught me is to meditate on the Word, or to get the Word in context, and then I'm able to piece everything together. So I spent a lot of time when I was praying in tongues for hours and hours every day. I would keep myself busy, and I had the whole Bible in MP3, and I would listen to the book of Matthew, and I could get through Matthew and Mark and Luke in 8 hours. So when I was praying for 8 hours, I was praying for a week had an 8 hour stint every day. I was just praying for 8 hours, and it was hard going for weeks praying for 8 hours a day. It's a bit tiring, and so I just put the MP3 on, and I just listened to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then the next day I'd listen to the Gospel of John 3 or 4 times, I think it was, and I just kept doing that and alternating them. And I'd listen to, I was praying for 3 hours every day, I'd listen to maybe Hebrews, I'd listen to that 2 or 3 times, whatever, and go through some of the smaller books. So then I got to an audio program, and I got the book of John, First John, Second John, Third John, put it together, and knit them together one file, and I'd make it into hour blocks, and then I just listened to the whole file 3 times, if I was listening to Galatians or Ephesians, and it took 18 minutes, I just keep cutting and pasting until I got an hour's worth. So I'd listen to Galatians 5 or 6 times or something, 4 times, something like that, whatever, maybe over 3 hours, and I'd just do that. And I did that for days and days and days and days and days, and weeks and months and years. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says in Psalms, it says, Psalms chapter 1, it says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but he delights in it. So but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his ways does he meditate day and night. So instead of having counsel from your own mind and from other people who are ungodly, he delights in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. And he meditates on it day and night. If you went over to France and you had to live there, and you had friends who all gathered around you that spoke English, you might not learn French for maybe 4 or 5 years, because you don't have to, because you've got friends to take the slack up. But if someone just dumped you in France and you just, had no money, no nothing, you would quickly learn French. You'd quickly get up to speed so that you could converse with somebody. And you would immerse yourself in the language. You'll get to the point where you were thinking in the language. You would no longer be converting from English to French and from French to the language, speaking it. You would be thinking in French. It's all about assimilating the Word of God into you so that it is a part of your vocabulary. It's a part of your thought pattern, so that whenever you're sitting there and the Holy Spirit's talking to you or speaking to you or opening up the scriptures, you've got something that he can open up with. And I can't count how many times, the Holy Spirit has just spoken me from the Word of God and said, what about this scripture and this scripture? I'll go to the Bible and look it up again, and it's there. And, I'm able to now just stand up and preach to people without even opening up the Bible, because I can speak about the scriptures and I can expand on the scriptures without opening up the Bible, because they're a part of me, and I can let the Lord direct me. So I don't even, when I go to speak to people, I don't even think about what I'm going to say. I just let the Holy Spirit, the anointing drop on me, and the presence of God comes over me, and I just start speaking, and it just comes out. Matter of fact, most of the things I do without the Bible, because I've spent so much time in the Bible for my own personal development. And that's what meditating on the Word of God is all about. You let someone else feed you, and you got no Bible, and you've got no understanding, you're up the creek. You need to be fed from the Word of God. You need to make it your language. You need to move and have your being in the things of God. So that when somebody speaks to you and quotes a scripture, you may not know where it comes from, but you'll know that that's not right. Because inside you, God is creating a network of understanding, a revelation of Him and His kingdom through the Word of God. You know, so you meditate on the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of scriptures you read, and they're very hard. You know, there's some scriptures that I've meditated on for years and not been able to understand what they meant. And then all of a sudden, another part of the Bible will open up to me, and it will open up those scriptures because I've meditated on them. You know, and it says here in Psalms chapter 1, verse 2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. Or the law is, you know, best practices. How does God want it done? The righteousness of God. How does God operate? How do I operate in accordance with God's will and purpose? The law of the Lord, right? And in His law, right, does He meditate day and night? He thinks about it day and night. His mind is not on other things, but he's thinking about God. You know, all of my day is taken up thinking about God. I mean, I don't have to do it. It's just me now. All I do is think about God. He's always in the back of my mind. His presence is always there. And, you know, when I wake up at... He was waking me up at 3 in the morning for months and months and months and months and months. And I'd wake up at 3 in the morning, and as soon as I even realized I was conscious, the presence of God was all over me, and I could... it was like I was having a conversation with God in my mind, and He was asking me questions, and I was answering Him, and then He was giving me the answer. He never asks me a question if He doesn't know the answer to. God is really good. He asked me a question. You know, in the Old Testament, the prophets, if you read the book of the prophets, look at Jeremiah or, you know, Ezekiel or whatever, he says you're often... see where God will say, what do you see? And the prophet will speak what he sees. So God will say to him, are the eyes of your understanding open? Can you see into the spiritual realm? What do you see? And he explains to God what he sees. And God says, now this is the explanation of what it is. You know, and you can go and do a search just for yourselves. And find out where God mentions all the time. He says, what do you see? Have a look for that. You'll be amazed. So God puts visions and understanding inside us, revelation, dreams, and He says, what do you see? This is your plan of purpose. This is the plan of purpose I have for you. He says, what do you see? And He wants to know, are you responding to the spiritual realm? Are you responding to the miraculous? Are you responding to the kingdom of God? Are you responding to the Word of God? Are you responding to the dreams and visions? You know, Peter, when he was up on the roof, he goes, you know, God said, he said, what do you see? You know, basically he had a vision and he didn't know what was going on. But by the time he got to Cornelius's place, he knew what he'd seen. And he knew that everything that God calls clean is clean. So he started speaking these things, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit filled the place. People started speaking in tongues because God partnered with Peter and his vision for the Gentiles. It's a pretty amazing thing. You know, I could talk a lot about dreams and visions and how they interact with us and how that God can partner with us through dreams and visions. But I want to talk about meditating on the Word of God, you know. And it says in 3, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Why? Because he's walking in the perfect will of God. Because he's walking within the parameters of the scriptures. He's not walking outside and making his own ideas up of what God is. He is being led by the Word of God and the revelation of the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. And he is meditating on those things. And if you go to the book of Matthew, and you look at Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7 is all one whole teaching. So Jesus spoke, he gave teachings, and he didn't just teach about something and then cut over to something else. Everything that he taught in that particular session had relevance. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible where Jesus says to the Pharisees, it doesn't even mention the question that they asked. It just starts off with what his answer was to them. He said, "Suppose you believe that men, that the Tower of Siloam fell on them, that they were sinners above all men." Right? He said, "No, I tell you that unless you repent, you're going to go to the same place. You're going to perish." Right? Then he goes and talks about Pilate's blood. He mingled these guys in the temple and he killed them, and their blood mingled with the sacrifices. He says, "Do you think they were all sinners?" Because, you know, Jewish people believe that if something bad happened to you, it must have been an omen from God, and, you know, you were dodging the bullet. And they, you know, we read about that with Jonah. They said, "Well, there's a big storm here, so one of you guys is doing the wrong thing." And the lot fell on Jonah, and he said, "Yes, it's me," right? You know, so people had the understanding that if bad things happened, so what was the Pharisees' question to Jesus? Why do bad things happen to good people, right? And why do good things happen to bad people? That was the question. Now, the question wasn't there. It's not in the Bible. But if you read what Jesus is speaking about, that's the question that they asked. They said to Jesus, "Why do good things happen to bad people? And why do bad things happen to good people?" Right? And Jesus said, he mentioned two aspects of a tower falling on these people that were just standing there. And then there's these other people, you know, who whose blood was mingled with the sacrifice, because Pilate came in and killed them. That was a historical fact. So he was referencing back to a historical fact, and they knew what he was talking about. And then he goes on and he says twice. He says, "No, I tell you, right, that unless you repent, you all go into the same place." So now he's saying, okay, if you do good or bad things, unless you repent, you're going to the same place, right? So, you know, you get some guy, I had a friend, and he used to steal cars and break into houses, and I never participated with him. He would end up in jail for just a tiny bit of time, and you go to the court and the court put him on suspend him and give him bonds, and the guy never ever paid for any of his crimes. I was amazed. I believe that I never did any of that stuff, because I knew if I did that, I'd go to jail for years. I just couldn't believe how he dodged the bullet. I don't know how he dodged the bullet, you know. And yet some people, they do a tiny thing and their whole life is ruined, you know. So where's the rhyme and reason in that? Jesus said, I tell you, that unless you repent, you all go in the same place. So then he starts and speaks about a tree. He says there was a tree in a field, a man had a tree, and it didn't bear any fruit, and he wanted to chop it down. And the gardener said, don't chop the tree down. Let me dung around it this year and next, and if it doesn't bear fruit, then chop it down. Okay? So, you know, what's he saying? The tree was hopeless and worthless, but this guy stands in the gap. He intercedes on behalf of the tree. You know, and if you study that whole teaching, you know, basically people either repent, right, and then they do the right thing, because Jesus said, no, I tell you, except you repent, you will all go the same place. And then he talks about this tree, right, which was worthless and no good for nothing, but the gardener says, leave it alone and let's see if we can do something with this tree. So there's, unless you repent, and God can step in as well. So, you know, there are people who God, he taps them on the shoulder and he says, I need you to respond, and they respond. Then there are people who God taps on the shoulder and they don't respond. So then there are other people who pray for that person, and then God responds on the behalf of the prayer. So there's a person can be led by God by their by listening and being attentive, or they can be led by God because God will intervene in their life because of someone else's prayer. So God will get you on both sides. You know, I came to the Lord because someone prayed for me. I didn't come to the Lord because I knew I was a sinner, or I went, I need to follow God. I didn't even believe in God. And then somebody prayed for me. They told me they were going to pray for me. 3 months later, I turned up a little hall thing, and the power of God came over me, and that was on a Friday night. By Tuesday, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I was so convicted and nobody told me. Nobody really told me about Jesus or about the whole thing. I don't remember it really. All I remember is going to the meeting and operate the gifts, and the gifts were all about me changing, and the words went right inside me and convicted me to the back teeth, and I just responded because somebody prayed for me 3 months ago that I would become a Christian, that I would know Jesus. You know, so if you go into the Bible and start understanding that spiritual or that kingdom principle, you can recover people who are not responding right to your words of life. You know, or they're not responding to God. You know, the Bible talks about a brother who doesn't, he sins against you. You go to him, he doesn't hear you. Get a couple of people, go to him, then he doesn't hear them and you. Then you go to the church, they go to him, he doesn't want to respond then. Then it says, let him be as a heathen man, right? And it's not saying cut him off and get rid of him. It's saying treat him as a heathen man. How do you treat heathen men? How do you treat unsaved people? You pray for their souls. So what do you do? And if you read the rest of it, it says where two or more are gathered, I'm in the midst. Okay? So what do? You get that person who sinned against you, and you release them from their burden or their sin against you, and you go to the Lord, and the Lord will go and rescue them because he will go after them himself. That is the whole concept of intercession. Okay, so we don't want to go into that at this particular time. But, you know, if we go back to the Gospels, and we go back to Matthew, you go to Matthew chapter 5, and you'll find that goes all the way from chapter 5, 6 and 7 is all one teaching. And it ends with Jesus saying, you know, if you build your house on a rock, then your house will stand. If you build it on sand, it will get blown away. It'll get flooded away. So, you know, it says, he that keeps my sayings is likened unto a man who builds his house on a rock. What sayings is he talking about? He's talking about the ones in Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7. because he goes through chapter 5, 6, and 7, and he speaks about anger, and he talks about the law. You know, he talks about divorce, he talks about adultery, he talks about vows. You know, he talks about revenge, he talks about loving your enemy. You know, and he teaches these things. And in 6, you know, he teaches about giving to the needy, you know, and about prayer. And then he teaches about fasting, and then about persecution, teaches about money, actually, and possessions. He talks about worries, you know. And then in 7, you know, he starts talking about you know, about judging others. So all of these things, if you actually do them, then you will line yourself up with the kingdom of God. He talks about, you know, effective prayer, and what we know about is the golden rule: do unto others as you have had them do unto you. And he talks about the narrow gate. You know, he talks about a tree and its fruit. You know, you'll know them by their fruits. You know, he talks about actually true discipleship, right? And so he talks about all these things, and he says, you know, the wise person is the person who keeps my sayings, and these are all the sayings. And you know, you read them in Matthew, and you know, they're actually mentioned. Sermon on the Mount is mentioned in other gospels, but Matthew has the biggest teaching, or the most comprehensive, you know. And you know, when you go to look at that, I mean, there's other teachings, you know, just in Matthew. There's you know, you'll find just in chapter 9 there's another teaching. Right, it goes right through to 11, and there's another teaching on 13. Now, chapter 13 goes all the way through just to 53. That's the sower and the seed. Then there's another teaching in 18, which goes from 1 to 9, chapter 19. Right, nearly the whole chapter. Goes the whole chapter in verse 1. Sorry, 2, I suppose. And then there's goes chapter 23, and that goes all the way to chapter 26. Talking about the end times. So if you read them in their context and in the whole teaching, then you'll get the understanding, instead of going from one scripture over here to somewhere else and hopefully getting them in context. That's the problem. Getting teaching in context. If you don't get teaching in context, you get a distorted view of who God is, who Jesus is, right? And his plan and purpose for you, and the way that you should interact with the kingdom of God. So we need to meditate on the word, and we need to, you know, some people just, they just go scripture here, scripture there. But we need to go scriptures, chapter, books. So we need to understand, what's a book talking about? What's the book of Galatians all about? It's all about a letter to a bunch of people who had some Jews come to them and tell them they had to be circumcised, trying to bring them under the law. So if you just get a scripture out of Galatians and then knit it with a scripture in Hebrews and a scripture in maybe 2 Corinthians and build some theology about it, it might be out of context. We need to understand what the book's saying, then the chapters, and the chapters are only man-made chapters anyway. There was no chapters in the books. We just made them for convenience, and then what are the themes? And Paul, he goes like just 1 Corinthians. That whole book is about milk. He says, I can't give you meat because you can't receive meat. So the whole book of 1 Corinthians is about milk, and yet these guys are coming behind in none of the spiritual gifts, right? So, you know, then he talks about in Ephesians, he talks about to a mature church. He's talking to them about going up into the right hand of God and operating from that place. And then in Hebrews, that's really talking about the deity of Jesus, who he is, and about him being a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and then about us entering into the rest. First it talks about that, and then goes on that he was a forerunner into the heavens. So he went up there, and he's calling us up there. What, when he comes back? No, now. We operate from the right hand of God. We're seated at the right hand of God in heavenly places. How do we do that? Well, I'll teach people about that eventually, but I haven't got time to expand on all of those things. But we're to warfare over darkness from a heavenly perspective. How do you do that? Well, first you've got to maybe spend a bit of time with Jesus and spend a bit of time seeking God and getting all of the buttons that the enemy wants to push in your life out of the way. You know, there are two types of ministries. There's two types of anointings, operations. There's the ministry that you operate in, and there's the ministry which is, you know, like healing and miracles and signs and wonders and all of that sort of stuff, and preaching and teaching. And then there's the ministry that is for you, or the anointing that operates in your life that converts you into a holy person, that separates you from the things of the world. It's the personal development through the Holy Spirit. And unless those both come together, don't work. I mean, you can pull people out of wheelchairs until the sun comes home, but if you haven't got your life knitted together in Jesus, hid in Him and sanctified by Him, eventually the enemy will come and he'll railroad you and smash you up against the rocks. And you'll become a laughingstock because you didn't build your tower properly. You didn't even understand. See, there's another teaching in the Bible about building your tower. Do you have enough goods or enough material to build your tower? It's no good running out of finances and your tower only gets half built. You become a laughingstock. So God's saying, how much are you willing to sell yourself out? Are you willing to sell yourself out completely to build your tower? And your tower is the things of God, the habitation of God inside you. Are you willing to go the full distance in God so that He can transform you, so that you can be complete in Him? Okay? There's a lot of teaching in the Gospels. You could spend all your life just reading the Gospels before you even get to the letters. But you know, if you sit at the feet of Jesus and you start praying in tongues for an extended period of time, He will transform you. Because, you know, we've only had the printed Bible 500 or 600 years. So what did they do for 1500 years? What, fall apart? No, they had the Holy Spirit. They had all of the material they needed to build their house, to build their tower. They had the Holy Spirit. And they were transformed by the renewing of their mind. And they were pulling down strongholds, systems of thoughts which didn't come into full alignment with the kingdom of God. That's what they were doing. So we'll leave it there.
So if you'd like to help us out financially, then you go to the bottom of the page and click on support, and all the information will be there.